Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church. And we're so delighted tonight just to be here. I give reverence to God, who is my life, and to Apostle Dean in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places. I just give God all praise tonight. I give all the glory to the Lord. I magnify him on tonight. I just come tonight bringing you greetings in the awesome and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're so delighted this evening that you've chosen to study with us on tonight. And we just give God praise. We give God glory on tonight. We thank and praise God. We just give God glory. We give him praise on this evening. We're going to get ready now to open up our Bible class to order right now. We're going to have just a short devotion so we can get into the study of God's word. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer on tonight. Amen. We're going to be reading from Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I have just read you from Psalms 51, the first 8 verses. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to get ready for the song.
Lift your hands in the air.
Come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come confessing tonight and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we come tonight, first of all, binding up the strong man. Father, you said whatever so I bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever so I loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. Lord, I come tonight binding the strong man from our lives in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man from this radio broadcast on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind up the strong man and every evil spirit, every demonic foe. You're bound right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you up and I cast you out and I command you to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come on tonight in the name of Jesus. It's giving you all the praise and giving you all the glory tonight, Lord. I'm asking you right now, God, to cover our Bible class in the blood of Jesus. I'm asking you to encamp angels all around us to protect us from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, I ask you tonight to let open our minds and our hearts up that we may be receptive and receive the word of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us on tonight, minister to us on tonight. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, whatever it is that we don't know, Lord, I ask you to bring it forth. Bring it forth, God. Bring it forth. And I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus, cover their families, Lord. Cover them in the blood of Jesus, Lord. And I'm asking you now to do it. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask all of these things. Amen. Amen and praise the Lord, everybody. We just give God glory on tonight. We give God praise on this evening. We magnify the name of the Lord today. We're in chapter 20 and 21. I studied 22, but it's all right. And I'm going to read chapter 20 last time, but I'm going to read it again, and then we in 21. So Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Sher, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffer I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all thy that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all of his servants and told all of these things in their ear, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee? What have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? A great sin. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I saw surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, 'This is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place whether we shall come, say of me, he is my brother.' And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and manservants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee.' And unto Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all others.' Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants and their bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And this is 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God have made me to laugh, so that all that hear would laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a feast, a great feast, the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard her voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicolah, the chief captain of his host, spoke unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, that thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servant had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who have done this thing. Neither did thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs? which thou hast set by themselves. And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called the place Beersheba, because there they swore both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then as Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, whatever it is, Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned unto the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistine land many days. Amen. So that's 21. So we're going to start in 20 when I find my question. This was a good lesson. Okay. Why did Abraham call Sarah his sister in Gerar, whatever it is? Why did he call her his sister?
Because he was scared they would, like, kill her because Sarah was beautiful. I mean, he was afraid that they might try to kill him Sarah was so beautiful, and they were, I guess, a powerful nation or tribe.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And they had all, she had already told Sarah before they got there, so wherever we go, you make sure you tell them that I'm your brother. Because you look a fair looking lady, and they'll just try to take you from me and kill me so they could have you for themselves. So, yep. Absolutely. Amen. Who prevented King Abimelech from touching Sarah?
The Lord, that he gave him a dream.
Yep. Amen. He sure did.
The night dream.
Mm-hmm. After Sarah was returned to Abraham, what happened to Abimelech's house?
The women and his wife and the handmaidens of the house were no longer barren, because it said that he closed up their wombs, I guess, as long as they had Sarai, everybody else's womb was closed up. But once they, made the reconciliation and gave Abraham, restored him for, and paid him back for taking her, then it says the guy opened Abimelech's wife's womb and the handmaiden.
He sure did. But God was the one who kind of caused Abimelech not to have lay with Sarah that night, because he would have been surely dead. He would have been a dead man. So, and he would have sinned against God. So he said, I'm the one that stopped you from sinning against me, messing with another man's wife. And that's why we have to be careful. We don't know who we fooling with sometimes. We have to be really careful. We're in chapter 21 now. What did Abraham and Sarah name their son? I know everybody know that. What did Abraham and Sarah name their son, y'all? I know y'all know that.
Isaac.
All right. I'm just trying to get it out. Y'all have to move it. And what the name is?
Yeah, I just got a lot going on. Bless her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It sure do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I got a little confused with this. It says, what did Hagar's son, Ishmael, think of the wean on son? I don't understand that.
Okay.
Anyway. Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry about that added noise. Can you repeat the question?
It said, what did Hagar's son, Ishmael, think of the wean son? And where was it at? Where it says here in 8, I think, or 7. Okay. It says, and she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar. That's it. That's why I missed out. The son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. He was mocking. Isaac, because he had weaned off, you know, he had, and I guess he was weaned from the breast. I don't know how old he was, but he was weaned, and Abraham was happy, so he gave a celebration. But his Ishmael was making fun of Isaac, and it says in 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman. I don't want to go past the questions, though. Where am I? Okay. let me be quiet. And what did Hagar's son, Ishmael, think of the weaned son is what the question said. I already answered it. He was making fun of him.
He was mocking him.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like jealousy. It's not specifically said it was jealousy, but I imagine he must have been jealous that Abraham gave Isaac a feast.
Right.
And it sounded like he mocking him to try to make him feel bad or bring him down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And number 3. What did Sarah tell Abraham to do with Hagar and her son?
Cast her out.
Mm-hmm. Make her leave.
Yeah, stop the power moment.
Yeah, put her out the camp. Yep, and sometimes, you know, men, they don't like to listen to women when they try to tell them something. But sometimes they have to. But in this case, I want to go past the mistake. God told Abraham, he said, you do what your wife said to do. You follow the voice of your wife. Because she was trying to please him. She shouldn't have did it, but she was trying to please Abraham and give him a son by some kind of somebody, because, you know, she hadn't gave him no son. And so, but she shouldn't have did that. You know, but gave her handmaid to Abraham. But the thing is, God told Abraham to put him on out. And Abraham was so grievous and he was so upset about doing that because that was his son. He didn't want to put his son out, even though, you know, his mama was Egyptian and that still was his seed. And so it really, really grieved him. He didn't want it, but God told him. Let me see if I'm saying something. God told him to go ahead on and do it. And so Abraham was obedient. He was obedient to the Lord. And he did just that. So what did God tell Hagar he would do for her son?
He will make the child a great nation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He would make him a great nation because, and the only reason why is because he was Abraham's seed. He wouldn't be the heir. Isaac is the heir. But he would still make him a great nation. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Ishmael, I believe they're like the Arabs and stuff. That's what I believe, because they feel like, you know, they'll tell you their father is Abraham, and Abraham is their father. Mm-hmm. But Isaac is the heir. Mm-hmm. And what sin did Abraham commit? Now, wait, let me not go that far. What was Abraham in Abimelech's covenant? And that's in that's up there in what is it? 23. It's in verse starts there. It says, "Now therefore swear unto me, hereby God, that thou will not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned." And Abram said, "I will swear." And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, "I wot not who have done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today." And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made covenant. And that's the covenant they made. But what was the sin that Abraham committed? That's not on our question sheet. That's me. Nobody know what the sin was that he lied. He lied and he told Abimelech that Sarah was his sister. He lied. That was his sin, the first one, I guess.
Yes.
Hmm. Yep, that was the first one.
Yeah, I was thrown off because, yeah, we, okay.
Mm-hmm, because I'm just trying to ask a few more questions because we need to talk about this thing more because this is a real good lesson, and this is the beginning of Isaac's journey. You know, he was a baby and a kid and stuff, but he weaned now. And so Abraham is going to start teaching them and training them and all that kind of stuff like that. But then he's going to have to go through a whole lot because of Abraham and God's relationship. Mm-hmm. And but Abraham lied, so the men or wherever they went, she was supposed to tell them that she was their sister and he was her brother, and he tells them that she was her sister. But in all things, in all manner, God didn't want him lying, because God could do whatever he wanted to do. He would have protected Abraham. But Abraham was just, you know, he was scared that they was going to do something to him. And that's what we should understand in the long run. I don't care what the situation is. We don't need to lie like that. That's a sin, and we have to repent for them lies. Because we human. We human just like Abraham was human. And he was a prophet. But he lied. And that was a sin. And God called it out for him and told him about it. You know, you have to repent when we do that. And we all sin. Ain't no one sin no greater than the other, you know. And I don't look on down on nobody, because I done did so much in my life. And probably if God allowed me to live on, I'll probably do some more. Not just willfully sinning, but, you know, we all think stupid stuff. We all think negative stuff. We all say negative things and stuff. And don't think God listening to us, but God is listening to us. He have a heavenly secretary, honey, and she or he or whoever it is taking notes. And so we have to repent from that stuff. We got to clean it up. We got to clean it up. So that was, and then they made a covenant after that. You know, and the thing about this is that Abimelech didn't get real mad. You know, he could have got furious with Abraham and Sarah, but he didn't get real mad because he knew God would get him about Abraham and Sarah. But the thing is, Abraham and Sarah was wrong for doing the man like that. And it brought that, you know, that up on his nation, up on his folk, up on his country. You know, God don't play. And he had already made the women barren. Y'all ain't going to have nay another child up in here. Mm-hmm. Because of what Abraham and Sarah did. Mm-hmm. Because of what they did. And so we have to be very careful about what we do and what God will have us to do. You know, I know we think we ain't doing things wrong, and we all this and that in a bag of chips, but let me tell you something. We better watch out. I'm telling you, we better watch out, because some things we think we're doing right, we're not doing right. We're not doing right. And we got to start doing better. And I know I'm number one. I'm talking to myself first. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to myself first, because God give us chance after chance after chance. But we got to learn from experience what we go through. We got to take them things and learn from them. For every mistake, God will turn a miracle out of it. And we got to do it just like he did for Abraham. Just like he did. He could have told Abraham, you lay with that woman and you sin against me with that woman. That was not Sarah. That was not your wife. But, of course, back in those days, they could have more than one wife. But, he could have said that, because Abraham a prophet. You know, it's a lot of the men in the Bible were prophets, and they did something wrong, because David was a prophet. And he slept with Bathsheba, had a baby, just like Abraham. But the only special thing about Isaac is the Messiah is coming out that lineage from Sarai and Abraham, not with Hagar, not with the Egyptian woman. See, and that's the difference in that. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Well, it's real good, and it's real interesting, because we know that Isaac is going to be a great nation too, but he's going to be more, I think he's greater than Ishmael nation. And God did keep his promise to Sarai. She laughed at them angels when they were telling her that. She laughed at the Lord, and she said she didn't, but she did. She was just scared to say she laughed at them, but she did laugh. And because they were saying something, you know, a woman know herself. You know, when you stop being doing womanly things, how you going to get pregnant? But with God, all things are possible. That I don't, when I tell you, he can do anything but fail. God can do anything. That's how I look at it in my heart. It may look one way. It may seem one way. But if God just blow on it, if he just touch it, that's all he got to do. He can just say the word. He ain't got to be here. He can say the word, and it's going to change. God can change a thing in a split second. You can bat your eye, and it's changed. We got to understand that. It may not look like this. I don't care what it look like. But if God says it's going to be this, it's going to be that. It's going to be that. So that's what we have to look at. God is a great God, I'm telling you. And I know a lot of us didn't get around studying out this lesson today, but I studied the wrong lesson, the wrong chapter. And it's okay because I've read over this many times. I read over it many times, and it's a blessed lesson because it just kind of reminds you of some of the things that we go through on a daily basis. And we got to know that I don't care how things happen. God is a good God, and he knows just how to do things. God knows just how to do things. He could have just kicked Hagar and Ishmael on to the side. But he said, no, he is of your seed. And when God approve of you, hey, you approve. When he call you a child of God, his child, that's who you are. Whatever he say, that's what he means. That's why I don't get when people say, oh, he probably meant this, or he probably meant that. God mean what he say, and he say what he means. He don't have to skip around and beat around the bush. He just come and he just say what he tell one of them angels. Tell him this. Do that. Tell him this. He said he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, he sent them angels and told them. So do you. So we got to always know that God is listening to us. And he's looking at us, and he know our heart. Because he told Abraham, he said, you do what Sarah's voice told you to do. Because a lot of men don't want to do that. And I know sometimes, you know, the man is the head of the house. But husbands have to listen to their wives. Sometimes, I'm not saying that she's the head, because she's not. But sometimes God will give us something to tell our husband. He'll what to say. He sure will, but the man, and that's to keep him in his place. You don't know everything. I'm going to give her this so she can tell you this. And you just got to believe it. She said, put her out of here. She wouldn't have never been there for me. I would have ate her up a long time ago and got whooped and beat and everything else by God. I would have got beat up. Do you hear me? Because this thing right here, because she shouldn't have never let that lay. That's just like letting my, you know, somebody, the associate, lay down with my husband just to give him a baby. That ain't right. That ain't God. So Sarah was very wrong to me. Now, I know you could probably have more than one wife, but she was wrong for doing that. And she suffered the consequence because soon she conceived, then she started having the big head, walking around with her head out, you know, up in the air like you ain't nothing. You can't even give your husband no baby. You can't do nothing. What good are you? You nothing. You ain't nothing. You just got his name. You ain't nothing. And I know how Sarah felt, but she was wrong for doing that. And God let her feel a little of it. But he gave her rightful place back. When Sarah told Abraham to put out, he got her a bottle of water and put it on her shoulder and gave her son. And I'm sure it hurt him. I'm sure it did. But he had to be obedient to the Lord. He had to be. He had to be. So a lot of times, you know, we don't want to do what God tells us to do and it be for our own good. And he told Abraham, I'm not just going to kick him to the curb. I'm going to make him a great nation also. All them Arabs over there, all of them, they everywhere. They ain't just over there. They over here too. Every liquor store you go in is an Arab or a Chaldean or whatever you call it. They everywhere. Child, I'm like, oh, God, who is this? Ooh, you better not have no scarf on your head. What's your name? Who are you? I'm from Mississippi. That's who I am. Yeah, got a whole husband. But that's them Chaldeans, those Arabs like that. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with them. I'll never say that because I don't know them. But they will tell you that Abraham is their father. They sure will tell you that. And, you know, I know Pastor Rachel's daughter is married to an Arab. And she really catches it. She got about 7 children, man. And he done moved her away from Apostle Rachel because Apostle Rachel was teaching her grandchildren the Bible. She had bought them all Bibles, honey. He came and caught them reading that Bible. He took them away from her, and they in Iowa now. They live in Iowa. They took them from St. Louis, St. Louis to Iowa. So, you know, it's hard in that area, but I don't know. I don't know why she married. I don't know nothing about that. I have to read more and study more because, you know, we're really from Ham. We came out of Ham, but we ended up, I got it all wrote down. I got it all wrote down because I kept my generational. I kept them generations, so I know where we come from, and I know Shem is the Russians came from Shem, and from Japheth. Oh, I forgot the Greek and the other people came from him, but the Arabs came from Japheth. So, but we run down through a line of Africans and stuff like that came from Ham. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wanted us to make note of it so we'll know where we came from because some people been in church 100 years, don't know where they came from. They don't know how they got here. They don't know. They had some slaves. They had slaves back then, and then they kept, then the slaves had to, well, when Canaan looked on Noah, and he cursed Canaan, and he said, your son gonna serve the other ones, and that's how it was, that's how the slaves came, because he had to serve everybody else, and all of his seed served everybody else, and the slaves came, and even in Africa, some of the African people sold slaves to each other and to other people. And then they shipped some of them slaves over to America. So African America, that's where that stuff came from. Mm-hmm. But we need to know where we come from. We need to understand where we come from. If we don't know, how somebody else gonna tell you who you are? We standing up here talking about black power and all this stuff. You don't know where you come from. How you know it's black power? You know what I'm saying? You got to know where you come from in God, not only Black Power, but in God. You know, and I thank God that he allow us to learn, because some people ain't never heard of it. Some people ain't never tried to, you know. No, it's been many years. I done been over this stuff several times, but I didn't get as deep as I got this time. I didn't get as deep as I got this time. And I thank God, the more I go over this word, over this Bible, I learn something new every time. But do we have any questions or any comments? We still got about 8 minutes. We still got about 8 minutes. So Abimelech just wanted Abraham to make sure he didn't lie to him or his sons or his son's son. So he's saying, don't lie to my family, my generation, my country. Don't lie to them. That's the covenant they made. They made that covenant, and Abraham said he swore he won't do it no more. Mm-hmm. He won't do it no more, and that's the sin that he committed. All of them, you know, just about all of them were prophets, and all of them lied or did something. That's why we're not perfect. That's why the Lord say we all sin. And if you say you don't, you're a liar. Because we all sin. I mean, every one of them, and so many of them was in jail. So many of them was in jail. Paul, Peter, all of them was in jail. Because the people was telling them not to preach in Jesus' name, and they did it anyway. So they ended up in jail all the time. All the time. God opened the doors up, let the hinges fall out. They go somewhere else and preach, end right back up in jail. John, they put him way out on the Isle of Patmos. Put him way away from every civilization, everybody, because he was preaching about Jesus. People don't want to hear that. The enemy, the devil, don't want you talking about the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lot, even on today. It's a lot. You have to be rooted and grounded into the things that's going on today. We have to stay prayerful. Do you hear me?
Yes,
we in
Lord.
The book of Revelation, you have to really stay prayerful during this time and season, because your very salvation depends on it. You got to stay in God with everything. And God just really, really bold with you, the Spirit of the Lord have, and tell he'll talk right back to you. Because he talked right back to me. If I asked him something, he answered just quick. Just quick. So it's that time. It's the time, because believe me, Satan right behind him, trying to get you to think this way and get you to think that way. How he made Abraham and Sarah lie and make it think it was okay to do it. He's doing us the same way. The enemy study using the same trick on us. On us. We got to watch that, because he's using the same old trick. We can't let him do us like that. We can't let him do us like that. If we paying attention, if we staying focused, we can't let the enemy do that. Mm-mm. So, and it was really a mix-up and a slip-up. I'm not making an excuse for them, but he was afraid, and that's what fear do. Fear will make you lie. Fear will make you lie. Believe me. Shoot, it's been a week, maybe a 3 weeks ago. I almost got on the highway. I bagged all the way down. It didn't make me lie, but I didn't get on that highway because St. Louis is fast. But, honey, here Detroit will run you over and push you in another lane, honey, and keep on going. turn your car around. I almost got on that highway. I was like, oh, no, I ain't getting up here. I don't know how to drive like them. Mm-mm. Nope, I sure didn't. I bagged all the way up. And you think they weren't blowing at me like, you stupid. Get out the way. All kind of stuff. But I didn't care because I knew if I got on that highway, I had to drive just like them. I sure did. But I don't know how I got over there. Anyway, but
I got a question.
Okay, hear up and say something because I'm running out of stuff to say.
Okay. Who was Amalek?
Amalek, he was a pharaoh. It ain't Amalek, it's Abimelech, I think. Abimelech. He was a king over, Abimelech was a king, a pharaoh. Oh, the Philistines, I think. I didn't even try to find out who he was because I had read about him so many times, but I believe he was over the Philistines, or he was pharaoh over something. Mm-hmm. Do you know who he was?
He was the chief captain of his host. Yes, I just found it. He was the chief captain of his host. Spake unto Abraham. He was the chief captain of his host. That's in,
Who is that?
The 22nd verse, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-mm.
Genesis 22nd verse, the 20th.
No, he was the chief
king of Gerar.
That's who he was. He was a king.
King
Gerar.
Of Gerar. Gerar.
Mm-hmm. I just
think chief captain. But that was Philip called the chief captain of the host. That was the other name, Philip, whatever his name is. But Abimelech,
it was
Abimelech and Philip or something like that.
Because it's mentioning both of them.
Philip is the chief captain of Abimelech.
Mm-hmm.
I never noticed that before either. I never noticed that before.
So Abimelech is a king?
Yeah.
He's the father. Yeah. Verse 2 of chapter 20, verse 2.
Mm-hmm. And Abraham. No, you mean chapter. Let me see. Okay.
Chapter 20, verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
The second half of the
book. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Abimelech, king of
Gerar.
Abimelech.
Sending took.
I'm not sure what that is. But I thought he was a pharaoh, too. I always thought
he was a pharaoh, too,
like you say.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a pharaoh because that's what they call them, kings and pharaohs. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because
chapter 21, verse 22 says that Abraham leaves with his neighbor Abimelech. That's where I got it from. So
his neighbor,
yeah.
I can say he might have been a neighbor of him. She said something about it was Abimelech. Abraham was Abimelech's neighbor. They was probably in the same area, but Abimelech is a king.
He was passing through their land, right?
Abraham was.
They was passing through the land and.
And he got scared. He was scared because he thought the men was going to kill him and take Sarah because Sarah was looking good. And that's how Abraham sinned. And Sarah did too. Mm-hmm. But you see, God didn't say nothing about Sarah sinning. Because you know why? Because Abraham is the head of the house. He's the head. And she fall right up under him.
I was thinking about when I'm looking at this, I was thinking about social and political hierarchy. Like, so Sarah really didn't have a say. She know Abraham making sense because they are in danger, and so they thinking quick to have their game plan. When you married, you got to have a game plan with your spouse if y'all trying to get somewhere and do something that you trust in God through this journey.
Right.
And you got to come up against these things. So Sarah really didn't have as much power like Hagar. Hagar looked at the woman, you know, she didn't have the power. She did what she was told because she was the servant and maiden. So, and then even though she was put in that situation, but see, then her attitude, because she probably wouldn't have had no problem if it had not been her attitude, but because she's a woman, you know, she did it. And so Sarai, I wonder if she was praying when she was over there with Pharaoh,
Amen.
Shaking and praying, hoping to God he don't put his hands on her.
Amen.
Don't want her own husband. You know, even though he's a pharaoh and a king, I'm sure she didn't want, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She would have been with the rest of his wife.
I'm sure she didn't want him putting his hands on her, but she would have been at his disposal because of her status or her power.
She said she was thinking about that as far as
women's rights. And we're going to, like, this is the time where God has women speaking out, and we are in peculiar situation, you know, and you have to have the blessing
Amen.
Of the Lord and
Amen.
Wisdom and prayer. Huh?
Right.
I just, this is so meaty and good.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
7:33. You said what?
This girl is a mess. Okay, we're going to get in the close out. Y'all somewhere. It's 7:33. But yeah, okay. But you know what? It is meaty and good. But we have to get deep in it, though. We got to stay deep in it. I don't care what nobody say. We got to stay deep in this word because we don't want to miss nothing. That's why I went on and talked because I already studied 22. I studied the wrong chapter, so I'm ready. I'm ready for Tuesday. But we're going to get ready to close out. I really enjoyed the lesson Tuesday and today. It was very good. It was very good and meaty. So we're going to get ready to close out, and we'll be right back here, the ones that's going to be on for Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour on tomorrow night at this very same time. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for opening up our understanding to understand your word and to receive it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We just give you glory. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord. Cover their families and their homes. Dispatch your angels. Release your angels to each home, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just cover them. Now, Lord, I ask you right now to bless Apostle Dean in everyone in their respective places. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen, amen. And God bless you all. Y'all have a good rest of the evening. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow. Praise for
good lesson. Good lesson tonight. Good lesson.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless everyone.
Amen.